Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA.
White, couple of jab steps, comes up shooting, top three, bam! Put him in the Hall of Fame!
Your number one source for Chicago Bulls news and stories.
What more y'all want me to prove, man?
Levine with a runway!
Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA.
Jordan Malley. Jordan, great to see you through our 670 score scope. Yep.
Where is he?
And it's right over there, Bill.
Joining me now, Matt Peck, Locked On Bulls podcast, producing podcasts left and right, even in the offseason.
On Twitter, at Locked On Bulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls underscore Peck.
I don't have Twitter. I don't do anything like that.
And I love what you guys do with the show. I listen to every episode. You guys are one of the best podcasts, period.
Y'all keep doing what you do best. I love you guys.
So kick back, relax, and get ready for the best hour of your day.
It's raw.
You can just see the vibe.
Locked On Bulls starts now. Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
Okay, cool. I was hoping it wasn't one of those knucklehead programs.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm Jordan Malley. Along with me is Matt Peck. Follow us on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls underscore Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Hit us up on our text and voicemail line, 331-979-1369. Drop your text, your voicemails, anything you got for us at 331-979-1369. Today's episode is brought to you by betonline.ag. Use the promo code LOCKEDON for 50% welcome bonus. That's a 50% welcome bonus at betonline.ag. Back for episode two. Hopefully you guys enjoyed that first episode, just kind of breaking down, talking a little bit about all four of the first Bulls games of the season. Matt, and so we touched on a lot in 40 minutes, but one of the guys, or two of the guys that we didn't talk about, centralized around a lot of what our offseason talk was about, is like, who the hell is going to play point guard, and are you going to teach Coby White to do that, or is Thomas Satoransky going to have a bounce back year, all of that. So figure we spend the first portion of this episode talking a little bit about that point guard position. But first and foremost, man, how you doing?
What up, Jordan? What up, Bulls Nation? Doing well. Yeah, I feel like I'm already vexed four games in as far as the whole Coby White experiment with, learning pretty early on that Donovan was going to give him an opportunity to hold on to that starting spot in the backcourt alongside Zach LaVine, which we didn't really see much of at all last season. You know, he finally got his first start the day before the league shut down. I still have my doubts and my concerns about Coby and his ability to run an offense. I think we've seen some noticeable evidence of improvement as far as his passing ability. Some of his drive and kicks this season to, splashing out to corner shooters has been impressive. I like some of the things he's done in pick and roll, getting some of the bigs involved. We talked a little bit in the previous episode about some of the better looks that Lowry and Wendell have gotten inside. And you got to give Coby a little bit of credit for that. But I do still think that there are times through these first four games where you saw the Bulls offense kind of stagnate. The ball sticks. The ball doesn't move as well. And that's still part of Coby's learning curve. And I've made peace with the fact that Satoransky is not as good of a starting point guard as I hoped he would be when we signed him a year ago. But I also do think that he and his presence stabilize the Bulls in these last couple of games. And Donovan pointed it out post game after their victory over Washington that Sato came in and gave them some big buckets and some nice assists in the third quarter when they were trying to, hold off Washington. So I honestly don't know where I stand right now on the whole Coby and starting thing. There's been some good, but there are also some signs that still suggest to me he's not quite ready for that big of a job.
I think that's okay too, right? And I think a lot of fans might feel the same way that you do. And I'm kind of with you to that extent. It's almost like I've been slowly training myself, as much as I hate it and I don't want to, that this is, again, evaluation year, a year to see what they have. And also for some of these young guys that we know are going to be here for at least the next 2 or 3 years, it's an opportunity of them to take the next step. And it's like if Coby White, if they want to see if he's going to be that playmaking point guard of the future, when are you going to be able to do that if your timeline is, hey, we hope to turn this around fairly quickly? I don't expect the Bulls to have to go through 3 more years to get back to the point where, hey, we're going to be competitive again. So it's like you got to pick and choose your spots in terms of how do we actually see if Kobe can do this in game? And I'm kind of with you too. There's some learning curve that's going to definitely need to be happened. And Donovan even said that in like the first, like even from this weekend, thinking about the Golden State Warriors game and his post game presser there, he's like, Kobe does great for us. And we run super fast when he's out there. But he's like, sometimes he just, he doesn't know what we're setting up. Guys don't really know where they're supposed to be. And that's, again, just like kind of learning the position, right? Knowing that you have to be that guy, that commander, and letting guys know what you're running, where they need to be, what spots they're supposed to be in. And yeah, it's just learning a new offense and being able to find his confidence and being, hey, I'm going to be vocal out there. Hey, you're going to listen to me while we're running the offense. It's just going to take some time, you know?
I think it will. And, you know, the thing you mentioned about being vocal, we heard from Kobe's teammates during training camp that he's been noticeably more vocal than he was his rookie year. And you know, there's only so much confidence a guy can have when he's a 19-year-old rookie to be the most vocal player on the court. But when, you know, and Donovan talked about it too during training camp and during preseason, as young as Kobe is, you have to be vocal when you're playing that position. And Donovan saying that element to the point guard role at the NBA level, even more so than in college, is a big part of the learning curve. And it's not necessarily just about X's and O's and feeling confident running the offense and knowing which plays to run when and ways to keep the ball moving, knowing when to get certain teammates involved, but doing so by being a lead communicator out there on the floor, really embracing that floor general role. And I think Kobe has all the confidence in the world for a guy as young as he is to work on that part of his game and to become a more vocal leader on the floor. But it hasn't been consistent yet, I've noticed. And that's actually something that Will Perdue was talking to us about when he hopped on with me and my my buddies John and Big Dave last night during the Wizards post-game show, is that he's noticed without all the fans at the arena, you can hear players on the court a lot more audibly. You know, all the mics around the court pick up everything. You could certainly hear it a lot when the players were playing in the bubble last summer. It was like, wow, all of the talking that goes on is so much more noticeable without the roar of the crowd. And Will was saying there are moments in that game last night, even in a Bulls victory, where you can hear the Wizards players out there talking. You don't hear the Bulls players out there talking as much. So it's like, yes, I think it's something that Kobe's working on, but it has to be more consistent.
It's interesting that he said that too, because like that's even something Donovan had talked about opening night or even after the Pacers game, is like these guys need to realize like somebody needs to talk. Somebody's got to say something, especially if you're playing defense and guys don't know where they are. Or like when we were talking in preseason, it's as simple as somebody yell and let the guy know which side he's got help defense on, the left or the right, and push him that way. Like little things. I remember, man, like even thinking back into the Derrick Rose documentary, I remember Joakim talking about that, like specifically talking about how like it doesn't matter who it was every guy was out there screaming, yelling, communicating, and that was a really, really big key to why they had so much success outside of like their star talent, sure, but just the chemistry and the flow and just teams playing way more organized than this Bulls team, which I think that's a good way to kind of categorize this Bulls team so far this season, is very disorganized and dysfunctional, but not in a complete total train wreck of a way, I don't think at least. There's been a bunch of bright spots as well, but you're right, like it doesn't have to just be one person. We laughed about the leadership committee that they created, but there is some like truth to that. It's like, yes, we need somebody to just step up and be the leader, and you don't need to say, okay, this is guy's the leader, he's going to be our floor general, he needs to be the one that talks. I think they're just kind of waiting to see if that grows organically with any one of these guys. Maybe I'm wrong, but that's the kind of the way that I'm kind of interpreting this, and nobody's really stood out as that guy in game in these regular season games so far this year. I'm hoping it's Kobe, but maybe it's somebody else that we're not even thinking about.
It could be. I think back to Wendell as a rookie being one of the more vocal guys out there, trying to show some form of leadership, even being the youngest guy on the team at the time. And like you mentioned, just the absolute joke that was the whole leadership committee thing under Jim Boylan, and the fact that that really didn't do much of anything. Some of the veterans on the leadership committee weren't even in the rotation because of injury or because they weren't good enough to be in the rotation, or at least deemed to be so by Jim Boylan. obviously it is an interesting mix of young and vet on this roster right now. And it's something that Donovan was talking about after the Washington Wizards victory. And even some of the players, you know, like Sato and Zach both talked about it. Otto talked about it. It is finding the right blend of letting the young guys, that starting five, the average age of the Bulls starting five, you know, funny anecdote I saw on Twitter the other day, is younger than the average age of the starting five of the Wisconsin Badgers basketball team right now. Like, that's how young this Bulls starting five unit is, especially with Pat Will in there. But they need to kind of take take the advice and the guidance of some of these vets who are coming off the bench and figure out when Kobe can lead by his play on the court, when Zach can lead by his play on the court, and when they need to just learn and absorb the information and experience of some of these veteran players like Otto, like Sato, like Garrett Temple.
It's funny that you say that, because I'm thinking about a lot of the veterans that have been with this team through the first, 3 years of the rebuild. By the way, it was good to see Rolo out there. I'm glad he's still hanging around. Oh, I forgot that he signed with the Wizards.
Yeah. Unfortunate that he couldn't get a ring with that Bucks team that fell short in the playoffs, you know, where he and his brother were teammates for a season. You know, that was so much fun to watch. I don't know about you. I got really weirded out. I was like, what's up with Rolo? You know, still had the crazy, like, Sideshow Bob kind of hairdo. But I noticed he was clean shaven, and he was like always rocking a beard when he was with the Bulls. I was like, what's different? I was like, oh, like, you know, clean shaven caveman. It's a weird look. But yeah, it was great to see Rolo, and even just great to see him interacting with some of his former Bulls teammates, you know, before tip off. One of the greatest guys, and a great Twitter follow. If you aren't following Rolo on Twitter, you absolutely should be.
100%, man. And like, the dude, Russ might legitimately end up as one of the top three rebounders, like, in rebound totals this year, and a lot of that should be credited to Rolo. We talked about how he strengthened Lowry's ability to rebound the ball when he was here, just because he was one of the best guys in the league at boxing out, and it just allows for so many other guys to grab rebounds. You see those numbers inflate, but combine that with the fact that I think Russell Westbrook is trying to do the whole, hey, let me see if I can average a triple-double again with this Wizards team, because it's just basically me and Bradley and a whole lot of nothing else. I laugh at that, but like, watching Russell Westbrook grab 9 rebounds in the first half of that game yesterday was absolutely insane. So, but Rolo deserves some of that credit for being that guy. It's boxing out constantly and allowing for Russ to do that.
And still setting some of the meanest screens in the NBA.
Yeah, that's for sure, man. Before we get into some other things here on Locked On Bulls, just kind of recapping the first 4 games of the season, what we've seen so far, expectations, and all of that, I want to tell you guys about BetOnline.ag. Football's going on. It's the last weekend of the NFL regular season, week 17. A lot of implications for the Bears and the Packers. Bears in a must-win situation in order to land in the playoffs. So if you want to bet on the NFL regular season, you want to bet on the potential playoff matchups that are coming up, there's only one place to do that. One place that we truly trust, and that's betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use that promo code LOCKEDON for 50% off welcome bonus. So you deposit $100, they're going to give you $50 for free to spend. Again, you spend $20, they're going to give you $10 in free bets. So once again, use that promo code LOCKEDON for 50% welcome bonus when you sign up for an account. I've been telling you guys that I've been excited and going to give you some picks for the Bulls each and every day. My thing right now is Let's stay away from betting the Bulls, because it has been an absolute and complete disaster for me this season so far to start. But if you want to bet on NFL, college bowl games, basketball, or the Bulls, you're going to want to do it at betonline.ag. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in the action. Don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll receive 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. That's BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. With that being said, Matt, a couple other highlights from this, just from this team in general, was Otto Porter's played a lot better than I expected him to. Last night was one of those cases. And again, I don't know if this is a revenge game against the Wizards to some extent playing at Capital One Arena, but Wizards fans don't seem too fond of Otto Porter Jr. I saw a video tweet last night where Otto just completely missed a three, and someone said, hey, it's vintage Otto Porter in Capital One Arena, and it's just him bricking a three. I was like, damn, Wizards fans are cold to Otto. But what have you liked, what have you not liked about his game so far in the first four games?
I certainly have liked a lot more than I haven't liked. And, you know, you and I got into a couple of not heated debates, but certainly we're not quite on the same page during training camp and preseason when we kind of were hearing about Otto and being really careful with his minutes and, you know, trying to keep him healthy so that we can trade him. And I was just sitting here saying, like, dude, he's healthy, according to all reports. And when healthy, no offense to this young team, Otto's probably your second best player behind Zach LaVine right now. Like, no lie, the inconsistencies we've seen from the young front court of Lowry and Wendell, you know, the hot and cold streakiness of Kobe and still learning the NBA game. Just plain and simple, Otto is your second best player. I still believe that to be a fact right now. So all of the stuff about like, well, maybe we should bring him off the bench and, you know, you shouldn't play too many minutes. It's still, you know, it was baffling to me then, and to a certain degree, it still is now. I understand the move from Donovan to bring him off the bench to give Pat Will that starting experience right out of the gate because, of course, he is the most piece in all of this right now, this season and moving forward. And the way that Donovan has staggered Otto in that second unit has worked well in a lot of ways. When he's a guy who can knock down shots, you know, he was 3 of 7 behind the three-point line in their win over the Wizards. He's been shooting the ball pretty well. He's been active on the glass, which is always, I think, an underrated part of his game. He's a strong rebounder at the wing spot. And he just is a smart player who makes the right play. It sounds simple, but it makes a difference for a team that's this young, this inexperienced, and just has no concept yet of how to play a full 48 minutes.
I think he has really benefited from the fact that he can come off the bench and sort of be in a role where he's playing with both the bench unit to start, but as Donovan kind of shuffles through that lineup, he's layering Otto back with Zach, with Kobe, with Lowry, finding different ways to maximize what Otto does best. And I think that's provide length, be able to switch off on multiple different defenders. And also, like you were saying, give them some offensive consistency coming off the bench. And man, if Garrett Temple can do the same thing too, I'm cool with him. But I think the best thing for Otto right now, and maybe it's not something that the Bulls fans necessarily wanted to see start the season, is to come off the bench. I know people don't want to hear about increased value with trades either, because that's not even a surefire thing as well, on top of the fact that he's making $28 million this year. But it's been the best version of Otto Porter we've seen outside of that magical February he had before he got hurt again. So like recreating some of that with not only the bench unit, but layering him with some of these starters too, I think is the best role for Otto Porter going forward.
And I think the other element to Otto having a good season is that he's playing in a contract year. You know, revenge game against the Wizards is one thing, but I think that we're seeing an engaged Otto who, as a veteran, who is the highest paid person on the team this season, is coming off the bench when a guy who is 19 years old and a rookie is starting in a spot where many assumed Otto would be the starter, because Donovan said, you know what, you know, people saying Pat Will's more of a four than a three, whatever, he's versatile, I'm going to start him at the three. And we'll see if Lowry has to miss time with this re-aggravated calf injury. I'd be fine with Otto getting put into that starting lineup and shifting Pat Williams to the four and kind of seeing how that works some, while still also staggering Otto so that he can get some solid minutes with the second unit as well. But going back to his contract, he's still only 27 years old, and he clearly is coming off of a contract where he did not earn this huge contract that he signed. Maybe to a degree, even though it was an overpay, he earned the contract that he signed with Washington that the Bulls then took over in that trade. But the last two seasons, or certainly season and a half since arriving in Chicago, he looks like one of the most overpaid guys in the league because he hasn't been available. And when he's out there, it's, you know, it's mixed results. Clearly, he's got the motivation to prove this season that he is still a valuable piece, a two-way player, a 3-and-D wing who can help winning teams across the league. So you mentioned, yeah, maybe because of the expiring deal, a potential trade candidate leading up to the deadline this season, and whether or not he gets traded or finishes the season out here, I don't necessarily see him being a long-term guy with this Bulls rebuild, but he's got something to prove if he wants to ink another, you know, multi-year deal. And having a motivated Otto, who's playing as well as he has through these first four games, averaging 13 points and 5 rebounds, as well as a couple of assists, you know, give me that from Otto every night, and I will be more than satisfied.
Yeah, even more so, just not even really concerning myself with Otto's future. It's more about, like, for me, more about these guys being able to find, hey, you're playing actually next to a guy who's a competent NBA player. Here's how that type of player can help you. You know, some of those guys haven't played next to a guy of Otto's caliber where he can shoot the ball consistently. He can knock down threes. He knows where he needs to be on the floor. He's long. I'm going to hesitate on saying athletic. He plays his way into shape throughout the season. So I think for a lot of those guys, it's like, kind of refreshing to be able to have multiple competent NBA players next to you, and just guys who've been in the league and know where they need to be and know how they need to play. But you're totally spot on the fact that Otto's playing in this contract year, and he's got to prove it for himself too, and it means dollar signs, especially with all the tier one free agents being pretty much taken off the board with contract extensions and stuff. That, I'm sure, it lit up Otto's eyes saying, dude, like, I could make more. If I play well this season, I could make way more than I thought I were. I was anticipating going into this massive free agency in this summer of 2021. So, I mean, he certainly has a lot to play for as well. So I'm okay. I'm indifferent on Otto, and I'm okay with him coming off the bench as well. And you're right to say that things could change fairly quickly with Lowry being out if he's out for an extended period of time.
Yeah, and to that end, there's another veteran role player who, you know, is another potential trade candidate this season that we haven't talked about that we need to talk about as he gets ready to make his return. Before we do that, wanted to tell our listeners that this episode is brought to you by Built Bar. We've been telling you guys about Built Bar all year long. The delicious protein bars that taste like a candy bar. Maybe if you packed on a couple of those holiday pounds and are looking to get back into better shape in 2021, you should try adding Built Bar to your daily routine. The new improved Built Bar is even deliciouser than ever. 6 new flavors, including caramel brownie, cookies and cream, and cherry barcia, plus some of the OG flavors like coconut almond, raspberry, German chocolate, banana bread, and mint brownie. The Built Bars are covered in 100% pure chocolate. They're soft, and they're easy to chew. They're great for the health-conscious sports fans out there. Like I said, maybe you're trying to tack off a couple of those holiday pounds. You could lose weight or maintain your weight while indulging in these delicious treats. The Built Bars are low-calorie, low-sugar, high-protein, and high-fiber. Take, for example, the peanut butter bar. 19 full grams of protein with only 180 calories. Only 5 grams of sugar and just 5 grams of net carbs. Right now, our Locked On Bulls listeners, if they go to builtbar.com and use promo code Locked On, we'll get 20% off their next order. Again, that's promo code Locked On for 20% off at builtbar.com. All right, Jordan, the other piece when you're talking about veteran role players kind of helping out the young core that has been starting for the Bulls out of the gate this season is Thad Young. And I'm curious to hear what you think about how Thad Young's going to fit into this Donovan rotation, where and how and if at all. Because it sounded like leading into the Washington game on Wednesday that he was, or on Tuesday, he was available, but then he was a DNP, you know, still dealing with this lower leg infection that has kept him out so far this season. With the rotation that we've seen from Donovan the last few games, where, you know, it's mostly Otto and Hutch and Temple and Sato getting those minutes, and, you know, a little flirting here or there with maybe either Denzel Valentine or Daniel Gafford, where do you see Thad Young fitting into this rotation when he is available, perhaps as soon as their New Year's Eve game against Washington?
Man, it's so bizarre too, because, like, if we think about it in terms of not winning this year, and I mean, like, not really pushing to be competitive at least to the point the expectations were last year, doesn't make sense to play Otto, at least not a lot, right? It doesn't make it sense to play him 25 or 30 minutes a night, unless you're really trying to just run him out.
Thad?
Yes, I mean Thad. I'm an idiot. Yes. It doesn't make sense to run him out there 25 or 30 minutes a night. I'm thinking of it. The only thing I can think of is the fact that they want to keep him healthy, not risk the fact that maybe he might go out there, re-aggravate himself, or lower his trade value. Like, that would be the only thing that I can think of. Obviously, he's got an injury right now, but even when he returns at full health, if he starts getting DNPs left and right, or he's only playing 10 minutes in garbage time, I guess that would tell me a little bit more about the direction this year is going for the Bulls, more so than about Thaddeus Young. What do you think? Because I find it a little bit bizarre too, and I'm having a hard time pegging it down.
Yeah, I honestly don't know where he fits. He seems kind of like a forgotten man. It doesn't help matters that the version of Thad Young we saw last season was a disgruntled veteran who, even knowing that, you know, the Bulls' young front court of Lowry and Wendell were going to be the starters and he was going to take a role off the bench, we heard him several times express, especially after, some tough performances, very bluntly to the media, yeah, I'm not happy with the amount of minutes I'm getting. And maybe that the role that I was pitched in free agency is not the role that I'm getting this season, and that he was unhappy. And at a certain point, even, you know, somebody let it slip that he went to his agent and was saying, like, you know, hey, man, try and get me out of here because this ain't it. And the other thing that I think had Thad upset is that Jim Boylan tried to completely change his game. And Thad Young's a dozen-year NBA vet who does certain things and is efficient in certain ways. And Jim Boylan just was like, all right, just stand in the corner and launch threes. And Thad was like, that's not who I am or what I do. And Jim Boylan was like, tough cookies, my way or the highway, because I said so. Insert Jim Boylan doofus comment here. So now it's like, okay, well, when we see Thad back and available, how is Donovan going to use him? And is Donovan going to try and use him in more Thad Young type ways as a interior post scorer and a guy who can play, you know, some solid defense against maybe your opponent's most dangerous big on any given night, whether it's a center or a power forward. But I don't think that Donovan has to go with a 10-man rotation. And if you add Thad Young to Otto, Temple, Sato, and then either Hutch or Denzel, then that's 10. And that's not even including Daniel Gafford, who, you know, I think maybe some Bulls fans think should still be in the picture, in the rotation. You know, I mean, so somebody's going to be an odd man out here. And I truly am very curious to see what Donovan does, because I don't think there's an easy answer for how Thad fits in here.
I think you're spot on too, and it's funny that you bring up Gafford as well, because there has been a little bit confusion a little bit about, well, is he part of this rotation? Is he worse than we thought, or not as far along in development of overall where the Bulls want him to be that he's just not included in this rotation? It could be a philosophy thing too. Like, hey, I'm just trying to see, like Donovan from his perspective, I'm just trying to see what these lineups with a bunch of wings out there look like. Not your traditional big, but man, it's hard to argue Gafford not getting playing time, because he's the only dude that can consistently block shots, can protect the rim. Again, it goes back to Wendell. If Wendell can consistently rebound the ball and protect the rim and do the very minimum of what we thought he would do when he's on the floor, then there's less need for Gafford. But if he's not doing that and guys are just giving everything and anything up on the inside, you have to go back to Gafford, at least to provide a little bit of length for him. But you're right. Going back to Thad again, I don't know. It makes me think that more and more is like, hey, you know, let's wait a few weeks, maybe get to the new year, see what teams are doing, evaluate how teams are dealing with their teams and injuries and all of that in the first couple of weeks, and see if we can re-up a possible deal to get you to a better team and contend. At this point in his career, I would imagine that's what he wants to do. He's already doing enough, though, man. I see him all the time getting up, talking to guys, especially Wendell, talking to Patrick Williams on the bench, high five, and just being a class teammate. And that's a big part of the reason why the Bulls brought him in. Outside of being a competent player and a good defender, it was being a class act and a good teammate. And I saw him doing that even consistently on the bench in the last couple of games.
That's true. And I think the other thing you have to talk about with Thad versus Gafford, and maybe how the back end of the front court rotation is gonna pan out when Thad becomes available, is that, you know, not only the veteran leadership, and we were talking, you know, earlier about, you know, who needs to be vocal on this Bulls team, and kind of like the young guys learning how to lead and how to, you know, communicate on the court from some of these vets, and certainly his you know, long tenured and well respected career in the NBA is one of the reasons they brought that in. Yes, Thad Young has certainly lost a step as he's reaching the latter stages of his career, but he's still a more interchangeable and competent all-around defender than Daniel Gafford is right now. You're not wrong that Gafford is the best rim protector when it comes to just blocking shots that this team has right now, because of his size and his length and his spring. You know, he can get up and he can block shots like the best of them, but that's kind of it. In my opinion, Gafford is a two-dimensional player. He blocks shots, and he is a screen setter and rim roller on the offensive end. Thad offers you a bit more versatility, and what we know about AK and what he's trying to build here is a lot of versatility and a lot of switchability, and that includes the defensive end. And Thad Young, whereas, you know, maybe can't stick with some of the quicker two guards or smaller threes in the NBA compared to his youth, he can still guard some threes and most fours, and he can even guard some undersized fives in this league. You know, I think one of the big reasons that the Bulls were interested is before he came on and was playing for other, you know, Central Division teams, they saw how much he was competent at slowing down the freight train that is Giannis Antetokounmpo. So Gafford can't do that kind of stuff. And it's no knock on him. It's just like, he is what he is. He's a gifted athlete, and he can block shots, and he can, you know, screen and roll and you know, be a rim runner. Thad offers you more versatility and switching on the defensive end. And I think that that is something that AK and Donovan are going to value. And it's already noticeable when you look at Donovan's rotation through the first four games. In the opener against Atlanta, Gafford played 17 minutes. Against Indy, he played 12. He was a DNP against Golden State because Steve Kerr was running out, you know, like the Munchkins lineup there pretty much all night. So Gafford really didn't have a place to be on the floor against a lineup that small. And then only 7 mop-up minutes against Washington. That hasn't even come back yet, and we're seeing Gafford's minutes vanish.
It is kind of funny, and maybe that's just that just means, hey, we're going to try to use Markkanen and Carter as many rotations as we can and allow them to play expedited minutes. I don't have it in front of me as far as how many minutes each one of those guys are averaging this season. But I think you're spot on about Gafford, man. And I don't think you're wrong about saying right now he's very, I wouldn't even say he's two-dimensional, man. I think he's very one-dimensional. I think he blocks shots and he can rebound. Like, watching him rebound in preseason, and he was getting a lot more run during then, him rebound balls and just consistently not be able to capitalize on those quick 3-4 foot shots, the layups and the contested layups back at the rim, multiple offensive rebounding opportunities and second chance opportunities. He's just been terrible around the rim. So until he develops that offensive game at some consistent level, I think you're right. Maybe Donovan's using him as like one of these special weapons that he has. It's like, hey, if we need somebody in there with a bunch of length and actually can run the floor a little bit, let's throw Gafford out there and attack some of these bigs that we're having trouble with. And I think he can help with that. But yeah, I think you're going to see him sparingly used until he's proved otherwise. But again, back to the Thad question. We can talk about this way more on the mailbag episode tomorrow if you guys want to drop your questions, or even next week, Matt. Do you have an idea of what they want to do with not only just Thad, but like the moves that they're going to make, or maybe the way Donovan uses a guy like him over the next couple of months leading up to the trade deadline? Are you more convinced that the Bulls will be conservative about dealing away potential pieces like Thad who would be good for playoff bound teams and contenders? Or do you think, nah, you know what, they're just going to get up to the trade deadline. They're going to say, basically, it's an open market. Come pick what you want and let us know what deal we can try and make happen. I'm not really sure at this point what I think that they're going to do with some of these guys. Do you have a firm grasp on it?
I mean, if there's anything, I certainly do not have a firm grasp, because anyone who thinks they do is lying. If there's one thing we've learned about AK so far, it's that he plays things very close to the chest. And I think that that will continue to be the case when it comes to, you know, trade deadline rumors, because everything we heard about the Bulls and draft night and like, oh, they're looking at, you know, sending Wendell to the Warriors to trade up for two and all those other various, they were all crap. And AK confirmed that they were all started by people outside of Chicago. So in that sense, I don't know what they're going to do. What I would say is, like, you know, there's probably a tier of players who are more likely or less likely to be moved. And there are two names that I think are intriguing. You know, we talk about Otto and that huge expiring deal, certainly being one candidate. But between Thad Young and, say, Satoransky, who are both guys in year two of three-year deals with only partial guarantees in those third years. Also, you know, veterans who might not be around long-term could be trade candidates. I think moving Thad makes more sense because we have already seen how effective Satoransky can be running the offense in that second unit and stabilizing that unit's offense and playing a combo guard role in this system that Donovan will use, where he likes to use a lot of guards. And I don't see Thad as being as useful. And you've got to figure out, do we want to keep Lowry? Do we want to keep Wendell? And pumping minutes into Patrick Williams' rookie season. For all of those reasons, if I were to say, you know, do you have a firm grasp on who stays and who goes? I'd say at this point, Thad is a more likely trade candidate than Sato, as the two guys who have partial guarantee deals that might be enticing for other teams.
I think you're spot on about that. And I think Denzel, even to an extent, if that dude can ever get healthy and play consistent minutes, I think he's got some value at the trade deadline too. Not much, but if he can stay healthy, there's certainly a market for a guy that can come off the bench and shoot threes. And at least has the basketball IQ that Denzel does. You know, Denzel, we poke fun at Denzel for trying to rap career and doing all these things, but I think he does have a great basketball mind. And a lot of people say that too. You listen to just these one-off comments, and he comes from a basketball family too. So I think there's value in Valentine as well. But I'm with you. I think Sato and Thad are the two biggest pieces on this team that make the most sense for contenders. Like, look, unless they're going to make a deal with Boston, they're not moving Otto. There's no way. They're just not moving Otto. Unless they're moving him to a team that has a trade exception, they're not moving that guy. So I'm with you, man. It just confuses me about what, like, I guess the overall goals and theme of this season is for this entire team. Is it like, yes, we're going to try our best to be competitive and win these games? We don't really care about the record as it stands, or is it, hey, no, we're trying to be competitive now and we're trying to right this ship right away. It's like, I don't know. We kind of hang in limbo as fans in the first couple of weeks of the season, but maybe I should have expected this. I think the one thing I didn't expect was the Bulls to be, I don't know what I was expecting, but the Bulls to be that bad, this bad, man, like just to go out there and play as an extension of what we saw 9 months ago. And that's me maybe just being forgetful about what this team actually looked like on a night in, night out basis on the floor, regardless of who your head coach is.
Yeah. And I think we'll continue to see more ebb and flow, more change, more experimentation with Donovan. And we'll learn some of that when Thad gets back and, you know, to our conversation of where exactly he fits in the rotation. And if Donovan's going to stretch it out to 10 instead of mostly 9, these last couple of games. But it's, again, going back to what we were saying in our previous episode and maybe Bulls fans being discouraged by this 1-3 start. And maybe some Bulls fans saying, hey, we, especially with the play-in, we have a legitimate shot. We should be a team in the hunt to at least get to that play-in tourney this year. I still think that evaluation to inform decision-making is what this season will all be about. And that will include which younger pieces of this core, you know, that the previous regime brought in, and then in addition to their pick of Pat Will, how they fit, who they want to keep and who they may want to ship. And then the same thing for some of these veteran pieces. I think a year from now, we're going to be looking at a very different Bulls roster, and I am more than okay with giving AK and his crew all of the, you know, the leeway in the world to use as much experimentation as needed to help inform those decisions.
I'm with you, man. I'm excited, and I know this next stretch of games over the next couple of weeks is going to be very difficult for the Bulls, and there's going to be a lot of Can they agree just not to have the kick in the nuts like they had on Sunday, where Damian Nobody hits a game-winning three on your home floor? Can we avoid having that happen again? Or at least avoid putting ourselves in that situation?
It was comfortingly familiar, though, wasn't it? The Bulls losing another like heartbreaking close game. How many times did that happen last season where the Bulls snatched defeat from the jaws of victory? The Bulls were up 9 with like 4 minutes left in that game and coughed it up. So maybe just one more of those that we needed to carry over from last season. Yes, it certainly hurt. The last 2 minute report didn't help, admitting that they got away with a 5 second violation and an illegal screen on that final play. But it's going to be a learning process, and hopefully this young team can start figuring out how to close those close games more frequently.
Yes, and you're right. I remember.
And if they don't, you know what? Like, cool. More ping pong balls for Cade Cunningham.
That's true. That's a good way to look at it, man. That's a good way to look at it. It's just a kick in the nuts to see that happen. And then I just don't want to be the team trolled on Twitter anymore. I'm just tired of it. And to watch Damian Nobody hit that shot was just like, bro, are you kidding me? But yeah, let's hope there's far and few of those types of games left, because Zach deserved to hit a game winner in the first week of the NBA, and he got that stolen from him too. And good on him too. He like kind of made an excuse for it. He's like, yeah, that was kind of my fault. I left too much time on the clock, but I liked my shot at that point, and I knew I still had 5 seconds left. There's nothing he can do. And yeah, like, the shout out to Casey Johnson for tweeting that out. It's the last 2 minute report showed that they should have been called for two different things. So I'm excited, man. I'm excited going in this weekend, have a little bit more optimistic look on this Bulls season. And again, it's just have some patience. But if you want to give us your thoughts, 331-979-1369, the place to do that. Drop your text, your voicemails, anything you got for us, 331-979-1369. If you don't have a way to communicate to our text and voicemail line, you can always drop us an email too, LockedOnBulls@gmail.com. We're on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls_Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. For Matt Peck, I'm Jordan Malley. Bulls Nation, have a wonderful day. Have a happy new year. Be back on Monday with a fresh episode. For Jordan and Matt, we are out. Deuces.
He had the eye pass going, and then you see Hutch go right through. I don't have to pay the $1.50, baby. I'm going for free.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com.
Thanks a lot.